focused on the type of Abraham and Isaac as being a type of God the Father and God the Son in that story on Mount Moriah, where Abraham was going to offer his son to be a sacrifice. And it's that type there is that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for our sins. And the same way that Isaac was willingly going to lay his life down before God stopped the situation from happening, Jesus Christ was the willing offering for our lives. And so this morning, we're going to continue kind of the type here. And the first thing that I want to talk to you about, what I'd like to introduce to you here is the steps to God's call. That's the message that I'm going to be bringing to you this morning, is just the steps to God's call. And I touched on it this morning, but every child of God is called to do something with their lives. If you are born again in here, if you're not born again, then you're called to be saved. The Bible said, if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. So if you're saved in here, though, you have a part to play in the body of Christ. People have this funny idea that the only Christians who have a calling are pastors, preachers, or missionaries. And that's simply not true. It's simply not true. This heresy does two things. Number one, it gives preachers the warm fuzzies and makes them feel special. Don't get me wrong. I love preachers. I've been under preachers my entire life. In a certain way, they are special to me and the things that they've done for me. But in the body of Christ, I mean, as far as special, it's not special. It's their part. That's what they're made to do. That's what they're supposed to do. Number two, it does one thing. It does one other thing. It also makes the church members shallow in their walks. And pastors, what will happen is they'll take this approach that they're the only ones that are important in the church and they're the ones that are making your decisions. And what it does is it makes you guys not make your own decisions and not find your own calling. And that's not how the body of Christ is supposed to work. In the New Testament, there is a very clear thing that's happening where Christians are called the body of Christ. And just like a physical body, there is a head, there is a hand, there are hands, there are feet, and every single part of your body has its own part to play. And so if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is all introduction here. We're going to get into the main message in a minute, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, begin reading in verse 14. Oh, well, let's start in 13. Start in 13. This is talking about when you get saved. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's not talking about water baptism. That's talking about the word baptized means almost placed. That's basically what it means. When somebody gets baptized, they're immersed in the water, right? So by one Spirit, by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, you are immersed into the body of Jesus Christ. You're made a part of it. And so we'll continue reading there. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been to drink, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So in the body of Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile. There's no black or white person. That's not how it works. When we are part of the body of Christ, we become Christ. So we'll continue reading here. In verse 14, and this is what I was talking about just a minute ago, for the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. You know what that means? The way that you were made was made because God made you that way to please him. Revelation 4:11, why are we made? It says to please him. For his pleasure we are and were created. So if we are made to please him, and we all have different personalities and different talents and different things that we're supposed to do, then wouldn't it be true that every single person needs to find their place? And isn't that what we try to do as Christians? Isn't as Christians what we try to do? We want to know our place. We want to know God's will for us. But you can only know God's will by doing a few things. So that's why the title of my message this morning is The Steps to God's Call. Because right now in your condition, without some faithfulness to the things that you're supposed to be doing, you're in the dark. And you don't know whether you're a foot or a hand or an eye or an ear. And you don't know. And the only way you can know is by the Word of God. What does that verse say? It says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet. So the Word's a lamp unto your feet. That's to tell you what you are. That's to tell you where you're supposed to go, where you're supposed to be doing. And we have that Bible for that reason. And so this morning, as we see here in 1 Corinthians, we're all members together of the body of Christ. And just like the physical bodies, we all have a part to play. And I said this morning, I hate if you have to hear it again, there was this thing that happened where I was in church one time. And I was having a real rough week. It was really hard for me. And I was just being a wuss. I was just being a sissy. I should have just sucked it up. But I was kind of, I really was. I was having a rough week. And I walked into church on a Sunday morning. And I really, to be serious, I do not know if I would have come back to church that next week if it weren't for this one old lady coming up to me and she baked me some cookies. And she gave those to me. And for no reason, she just smiled and said, I made these for you. And those cookies kept me in church. And that's a ministry. It wasn't the message that morning that kept me in church. It wasn't the pastor's preaching. It was those cookies. And so, once again, you can be a minister without being the preacher. You can do things for Christ. You can have a calling on your life and not be a missionary or whatever it is. Now, I know that we're all supposed to be missionaries because we all have a field. We all have our work. Place. That's your field. We all have things that we are supposed to be a part of, and that makes us a missionary, but not, of course, maybe not in Africa, maybe not in those places. And so, again, what I'm trying to get at is we have a place, we have a ministry, and so what I'm going to give you this morning are the steps to knowing your ministry, the steps to knowing what your calling is for your life. And so, like I was talking about this morning, there's all kinds of types in the Bible. And you don't have to go to Bible school to understand them. You don't have to go to Bible school to see them. They're all through there. And in Genesis, we have a very clear picture of Jesus Christ in the person of a man named Isaac. And if you follow that type out, Isaac's father's name is Abraham. And who's the father of Jesus Christ? Well, that's God, of course, God the Father. And again, if we continue to follow that out, let's turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, we find a story here. We find a real interesting story of God the Father, who's in the type of Abraham. And I want you to see this here in Genesis 24, verse 1. Genesis 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. So here we have a real clear type of God the Father sending the Holy Spirit. Right? You remember it says he'll send the comforter? And so the same way that Abraham is sending his servant, Eliezer, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to the earth to find a bride for his son Isaac. And if you know anything about, again, the New Testament, what is the church called? The church is called the Bride of Christ. And so we have a type here of this girl whose name is Rebecca. And she displays the characteristics of what God is looking for in his bride, in the bride for his son. And so we're going to study this girl, Rebecca. And there's some amazing things that she does and that she portrays. And that's how you need to be acting. And so we'll begin reading. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, before we start in the text there, I want to start in Ephesians 5 in verse 23. Just in case you guys don't believe me, you know, I want to give you some scripture proof here. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Let's skip on down to verse, well, let's just continue reading. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's go to skip on down to verse 30. And this goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about this morning. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So what this is saying here is that in a husband and wife relationship, a husband and wife become one. You become one person. And so in that same way, when God, when he sent this servant out to be a bride for his son Isaac, the church is the bride of Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to be a part of the body of Christ. So that's the background for that. Let's go back to Genesis 24. Genesis chapter 24. It's called a mystery for a reason. I know it's a bit complicated, okay? So just bear with me. I know that's, again, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around all the things that God has going on. But he says it clear. He says we're the bride of Christ and that we're a part of his body. And so the first thing that I'd like to point your attention to is this, in this story in Genesis 24, is he goes to a land to go find a wife for Isaac. And we'll begin reading in verse 12, Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24, 12. And he said, this is talking about the servant who's gone out to find a wife for Isaac. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and that she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had she had any man known her. And she came down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her head and gave him drink. So the first thing I'd like you to notice is Rebekah's service here. Rebekah had something that Eliezer asked her to do, and without question, she did it. Without question, it says, even in that verse there, it says she hasted. So that means she was doing it with the right attitude. She wasn't, you know, kind of grudgingly getting the water. She hasted. She got the water, and she gave it to the camels just from this man asking her. And if you're saved and if you're a part of the body of Christ here this morning, there are some simple things that God has asked you to do. There is a service that you are made to do, or not made, that he's asked you to do as a member. And so I can think of three things that God has asked you to do. Three simple things. If Christians in America were doing these three things, then we would not be having the problems that we have today. Three things. All right, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You ought to be going to church. Simple, plain as day, you ought to be going to church. And honestly, I mean, there's really not that much church going on nowadays. You ought to go as much as you can. I understand people have jobs and schedules. It's hard to do that. I know exactly how it is. I used to work a night shift, and I would work Saturday nights and have to go to church the Sunday morning. There was a couple of times that I missed because I slept in too late. And so I understand how that's hard, but you ought to be trying to as much as you can. The Bible says to give attendance to reading. You ought to be reading your Bible every morning. Try and get one chapter in. Start with just a chapter. Start with a page if you have to, but give attendance to reading. Number three, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. You ought to be praying. Pray without ceasing. Somebody said it real well one time. You ought to start a conversation with God and just never stop. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be able to be on your knees praying all the time, and that's not what the verse is saying. What the verse is saying is that you ought to have a constant fellowship with God, where in everything that happens in your life, you can be like, well, Lord, why did that happen? Talk to him like he's your friend. Have a real relationship with him. He's a real God, isn't he? He's real. You ought to have some real talking with him, real conversation. The same conversation that you'd have with another person in your life. Those are three things that God has asked you to do. And I haven't even gotten that verse that says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. I haven't even touched that yet. Our reasonable service is to present our bodies a living sacrifice, the way that Isaac did. That's hard to do. So let's just start with the simple, right? Let's start with these three things first. And once again, if Christians were doing those three things, they would know their place in the body of Christ. That service there that Rebecca's got, where she's just doing the things that she's asked, that's what you ought to be doing as a Christian. So just a couple of things. I'm sure there's more things that God has specifically asked you to do. But if you could do those three things, a vast majority of your problems would go away. And they're all important, but I want to tell you that that Bible reading is very, very important. It calls it the washing of the water of the Word. If you want to get clean in this life, if you want to be able to have the pureness to be able to have some access to God, you're going to need to spend some time in this book. And that, to me, is the first step. Because if you're spending time in this book, you'll go to church. If you're spending this time in this book, then you'll be talking to God. So to me, that's the first step. Read your Bible. Just, I know you've heard that probably a million times, but are you doing it? I mean, seriously, I've heard that a million times too, and there were times in my life when I wasn't doing it, even though I listened to preaching on it, like a lot of preaching on it. I was listening to preaching in my mother's womb. I was listening to preaching. And that was a privilege. I'm not saying that badly, but I have listened to a lot of preaching on reading your Bible, and I didn't always do it. So I know in here that maybe there might be somebody who, even though you've heard it a million times, you need to hear it one more time. Open that book up. Get a chapter in. Get a couple of pages in, because that's the start there of your relationship. Somebody said it well. Prayer is you talking to God, and that's Him talking to you. And you got two ears and one mouth for a reason. You got to listen to Him speak twice as much as you talk. You ever gotten in prayer before and just been silent? You want to get some fellowship with God? You just get on your knees and you let Him do the talking. It'll change your prayer life. We're not preaching on prayer, though. Let's continue here. So Rebecca's service was that of a... She had a servant's heart, if you notice there. She didn't know who Eliezer was. She'd never met Eliezer before. And yet she was willing to get water for him. Let's continue reading. Verse 19, the second thing that I'd like you to notice. Verse 19, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. There's going to be some things in your Christian life that God did not ask you to do that He wants you to do. And He's not going to ask you. He's not going to make you. He's not even going to say to do it. You just ought to do it because it's right. So the second thing that I want you to notice here is Rebecca's sacrifice. You have her reasonable service there that she gives, and then she has some sacrifices that she made. So things that thing there with the camels, I think there was about 10 camels there or something like that, if I remember right. I mean, you gotta give drink to 10 camels? That's a lot of camels. And those camels were holding goods for her father, for the wife of Isaac's father, to give to him as a dowry. And the thing is that there's going to be some things that you're going to have to do in your Christian life that are like watering some smelly camels. And you ought to do those because it's right. And those camels may have been stinky, and those camels may have been gross, and you might not want to give those camels water, but you ought to do it because it's right. And there are certain things that you're going to be doing in your daily lives where you're going to be walking down the street and God didn't tell you to give a tract to somebody and God didn't tell you to witness to somebody, and yet you ought to go and talk to them about Jesus Christ because it's right. There's going to be times where your brethren in church here. God's not going to tell you to do something nice for them. He might not tell you to give them some money, but you might just say, well, you know what? I can see that that person's in need. I can see somebody who's in need of some water. And I'm going to try to be the person that gives it to them. That's what's called being a Christian. If you don't want to be a Christian, you're not being made to be a Christian. Nobody's making you come to church this morning. And I know that for a fact, and that's why I love you guys, because I know you don't have to be here. And yet you are. At the moment, you guys are having a hard time. You don't even have a full-time pastor at the moment right now. And yet you're here. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. You're here because you want to be fed from God. I hope you continue that. I hope you keep that attitude through the hard times. You know, coming to church isn't about even, you know, somebody said one time, you know, well, I just don't, I remember I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said, I just don't like the people at church. He said, there's a bunch of hypocrites in church. There's a bunch of people in church who, you know, they're lying and, you know, they talk bad about people. You know, you don't go to church because you like people. You don't go to church because people like you. You go to church, why? Because it's right. Because the Bible says you ought to be here. And so, again, that goes back to the first point, but there are some things you ought to do just because they're right, and maybe God didn't even specifically ask you to do them in His Word, but you ought to just do them. And so Rebecca's sacrifice there is she did some things that she wasn't asked to do. When was the last time you did something for the Lord just because you loved Him? I mean, my mom's birthday is coming up. She'd still be my mom if I didn't give her a present, and she's a great mom. She'd still love me if I didn't get her a present. But I want to get her a present because I love her. I'm sure you have some people in your life that you love and you do things for them. How much more could you do something for your Heavenly Father who loved you enough to give you His Son? You ought to do some things for Him because you love Him. You know, David wrote the Lord some psalms. We have a whole book of them. God didn't make him write those. He wrote them because there was something inside that he just could not keep contained. There was a love for God that he could not keep inside, so he had to put it on a pen. He talked about the Lord. He would praise the Lord in his palace and all that stuff, but he said, that's not enough. I'm going to write some things for the Lord, some love letters to him. Turn to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. If you didn't read your Bible this morning, we're about to read a chapter. Psalms chapter 8. Get in our daily Bible reading today. Psalm chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over thy works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You see there, David's just giving him praise. David's just praising him for no apparent reason. He's just praising him. In chapter 9, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Why is he doing that? Because it's right. Because God deserves praise. God deserves your praise. He's not going to beg for it. He wants you to do it out of your own free will. So there ought to be some things that you do out of your own free will. There ought to be some things that you're looking. You ought to be looking for some ways that you can do something for him that maybe he didn't put out clearly in that book. And that's your way to finding God's will. And finally, we'll read in verse 56 of Genesis chapter 24. And in Genesis 24, I'll just kind of sum up the story here for you. Eliezer is the name of Abraham's servant, and Eliezer goes and he presents Rebecca with a proposition. And, you know, God answered Eliezer's prayer there that he prayed in verse 14, and Rebecca did what she was supposed to. She gave those camels drink. In verse 19 of 24 it says, "And when she had done giving him drink, and she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted again and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekel weight of gold and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" So we're not going to read the whole chapter here, but of course Eliezer sees what a valuable person that this Rebekah is. And he says, this is the one. And so he goes to the father's house and he asks to have her hand for his master Isaac in marriage. And she was presented with a choice. Verse 56, Genesis 24, 56. "And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. You see how the Lord has brought Rebekah to me? Don't hinder me more. Send me away that I may go to my master." Verse 57, "And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." So she's got the choice. They're asking her. Her parents didn't make her go. Eliezer's not making her go. In verse 58, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." We see Rebekah's service in the first part. We see her sacrifice for the camels. And then we see an option given to her. And you know what she chose? She chose surrender. She chose to surrender her entire life to this person that she's never seen before, to this person that she's never laid eyes on. She's never heard his voice before. And yet she chose to surrender her life to him. And you know what happened? She found her place. What was her place? Her place was to be the mother of what is going to end up being countless millions of people up in heaven. She ended up being the mother of the seed, the line, that would end up producing Jesus Christ. And all because of three words, I will go. I don't know what the Lord has prepared for you this morning. I have no idea what your place is in the body of Christ, but I know this. I know that you ought to be doing your reasonable service. I know that you will need to sacrifice some things. And when God sees that, He's going to give you something to do. And then you're going to have a choice whether or not you want to do it. And so I've heard people all my life saying, I don't know what God's will is for me. I don't know what God's plan is for me. I don't know what I am supposed to be doing, what my place is in the body of Christ. It's because you're not doing the things you're supposed to be doing. There are some clear-cut things that you need to be doing first, and then God will give you the option to do something for Him. We get to do something for Him. We get to. It is a privilege to serve Jesus Christ. And so I ask you today, you have somewhere in the body of Christ that you're supposed to be. Do you know exactly what that is? Are you familiar with what your place is? There's a certain job that God has for you that nobody else can do. And I'm not saying that to make you feel special. We see the snowflakes and how God made the snowflakes at every single one of them, although there are millions and trillions, and they're all different. And you in here this morning are different than any other person in this room. You're different than any other person on this planet. And you have some specific things that God wants you to do. What are those? I don't know. But you need to know. And if you don't know this morning, then you need to get on your knees and find out. If you feel lost, if you feel stagnant, you feel like you don't have a something that you're doing for a purpose, it's because you don't know your purpose. And you need to find it out. So if I could have somebody that come to the piano and play here, if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing this morning, if you don't know where you're supposed to be at in the body of Christ, then you need to find out. And we'll just say a quick word of prayer here, and if you feel like you need to pray about something, then you can go ahead, and if you want to wait till you get home, that's completely up to you, but there are certain things that God is looking for you. So let's bow our heads this morning.